Page 13, measure number 24-388, Salem Area Mass Transit District. This is part one. Referred to the people by the district board. Adopts employer payroll and self-employment tax of 0.21% beginning 2017. Question, shall Salem Kaiser Transit, or Chariots, expand service including weekends and holidays by implementing an employer self-employed payroll tax of 0.21%. Summary, voter approval of the measure would provide the funding to add Saturday service, summer 2016, add the Youth Pass, 2016, for students in grades 6 through 12, add longer evening service and limited Sunday and holiday service, summer 2017. Expanded service would apply to both Chariots and Cherry Lift or Paratransit. The measure would implement an employer payroll tax assessed at 21 cents for each $100 of payroll. Nonprofit 501c3 organizations, except hospitals, would be exempt. Rate increases are limited in accordance with ORS 267.387. Current limit to rate increase is not more than 0.02% in any year. The use of funds collected under the measure would be subject to annual audits by an independent auditor and would be available for public review on Chariots' website. In 2009, Chariots eliminated Saturday service and shortened weekday evening service to balance revenues and expenses. In 2011, the state eliminated support for the Youth Pass program. As a result, it has been harder to meet the needs of seniors, young people, and others that rely on transit to get around the community. Explanatory statement. The Salem Kaiser Transit, or Chariots, proposed measure would add Saturday, Sunday, and holiday bus service, extend evening weekday service, and provide for a bus pass program for middle and high school students. In September 2015, Chariots implemented Phase 1 of a new service plan commonly known as Moving Forward. Phase 1 reallocated current weekday service to be more efficient and effective. It provides the foundation for expanded service in Moving Forward Phase 2. Chariots bus routes serve local educational facilities, employment centers, medical facilities, businesses, community events, and recreational activities. Chariots also operates the Cherry Lift program, the federally mandated curb-to-curb service for eligible persons with disabilities. The employer self-employed payroll tax would provide revenue to add Saturday service. Buses would operate every 30 or 60 minutes. Some routes would provide 15-minute service throughout the day. Extend weekday evening service. Later service would extend evening service until approximately 11 p.m. Monday through Friday. Add Sunday and holiday service. Buses would operate every 30 or 60 minutes and increase the opportunities for riders to get to work, shop, and participate in community activities. New holiday service would be provided on President's Day, Memorial Day, Independence Day, Labor Day, and Veterans Day. Provide for a bus pass program for middle and high school students. The bus pass program for students, including homeschool, would provide for unlimited rides during the school year. Bus passes will allow students to participate in before and after school programs, after school jobs, or other activities. Chariots provided over 1 million student rides annually through a similar program once funded by the Oregon Department of Energy. Rate of tax. Every employer subject to the tax would pay an amount equal to 0.21% of the amount of wages paid with respect to services performed within the district. Every self-employed taxpayer would pay an amount equal to 0.21% of the amount of the individual's net earnings from self-employment. Subject to the conditions and limitations provided by ORS 267.385 and 267.387, as amended from time to time, or the successor to those statutes, the rate of tax imposed by the ordinance may be increased by a non-emergency ordinance adopted by the Board of Directors of the District. The current limit for a rate increase cannot be more than 0.02%, 0.0002 within any year. All 501c3 organizations, except hospitals, and government agencies are currently exempt from this proposed tax. The state of Oregon would not be subject to this tax because it pays, in lieu of tax, a 0.6% payroll tax. By statute, the tax cannot be passed to employees. The tax is deductible from federal income tax purposes. The tax would be effective January 1, 2017. A typical employer tax with this measure would be $210 for every $100,000 of payroll. Submitted by Robert Krebs, President, Board of Directors, Chariots, Salem Kaiser Transit. Page 14, Salem Area Mass Transit District Ordinance Number 2015-01. An ordinance regarding an excise tax on payroll and net earnings from self-employment. Be it enacted by the Salem Area Mass Transit District, the electors of the Salem Area Mass Transit District, under the authority of ORS 267.302 and ORS 267.010 through 267990, do hereby ordain and decree as follows. Number 1, imposition of tax. A tax is hereby imposed. 1.1, on every employer of individuals who perform services within the territory of the district, and 1.2, on every individual who performs services within the territory of the district and has net earnings from self-employment in excess of $400. Number 2, rate of tax, limitation on increases. 2.1, every employer subject to the tax pursuant to Section 1.1 of this ordinance shall pay an amount equal to 0.0021 times the amount of wages paid by such employer with respect to services performed within the territory of the district. Every self-employed taxpayer subject to the tax pursuant to Section 1.2 of this ordinance shall pay an amount equal to 0.0021 times the amount of the individual's net earnings from self-employment. 2.2, subject to the conditions and limitations provided by ORS 267.385 and 267.387, as amended from time to time, or the successor to these statutes. The rate of tax imposed by Section 2.1 may be increased by a non-emergency ordinance adopted by the Board of Directors of the district. Number 3, apportionment. A self-employed individual having net earnings from self-employment arising from services both within and without the territory of the district shall allocate or apportion such net earnings from self-employment as provided in this Section 3. 3.1, the net earnings from self-employment shall be allocated in a manner consistent with that required for allocation and apportionment of income under ORS 314.280 and 314.605 to 314.675 as amended from time to time, or the successor to those statutes and the department's regulations adopted pursuant thereto. Regarding such allocation and apportionment, the self-employed individual shall follow the instructions and forms published by the department or, 3.2, to the extent that apportionment rather than allocation is appropriate, the self-employed taxpayer may elect to apportion the net earnings from self-employment based on a single factor. In the case of an activity conducted by a partnership, the partnership may elect to have each of its partners use a single factor for the apportionment of its earnings. The single factor for apportionment shall be a sales factor computed in a manner consistent with ORS 314.665, as amended from time to time, or the successor to that statute, and the department's regulations adopted pursuant thereto. Regarding such apportionment, the taxpayer or the partnership of which the taxpayer is a member shall follow the forms and instructions published by the department. The election by a taxpayer or by a partnership of which the taxpayer is a member to use single-factor apportionment shall be made on a form furnished by the department. An election shall be binding for both the current and all future years unless revoked with the written consent of the department. Number four, phase in. For those employers described in ORS 267.381 sub 1 A and C, the amount of the tax paid each year following the year in which the population of the standard metropolitan statistical area exceeds 400,000 shall equal a percentage of the tax otherwise calculated under Section 2 in accordance with the following schedule. Year 1, 20%. Year 2, 40%. Year 3, 60%. Year 4, 80%. After year 4, 100%. An employer described in ORS 267.380, sub 1, A and C, that made and that continues to make payments to the district under the provisions of ORS 291.405 and 291.407, equivalent to the rate in effect on January 1, 1989, is exempt from the tax provided for in this ordinance. Number 5, definitions. Capitalized terms used in this ordinance shall have the following meaning unless the content requires otherwise. Department means the Department of Revenue, State of Oregon. District means the Salem Area Mass Transit District. Employer has the meaning prescribed by ORS 267.380 as amended from time to time or the successor to that statute. Net earnings from self-employment has the meaning prescribed by ORS 267.380 as amended from time to time or the successor to that statute. Taxpayer means an employer subject to tax under this ordinance or a self-employed individual subject to tax under this ordinance. Territory means the territorial boundaries of the district as prescribed by ORS 267.107 and ORS 267.114, as amended from time to time or the successor to those statutes. Wages has the meaning prescribed by ORS 267.380, as amended from time to time or the successor to that statute. Wages includes remuneration for services performed partly within the district. Wages does not include remuneration excluded under ORS 267.380 as amended from time to time or the successor to that statute. Number 6, rules and regulations. The Board of Directors of the District may, from time to time, by ordinance, establish and revise reasonable rules and regulations relating to the administration, collection, and enforcement of the tax established by this ordinance. Without limiting the generality of any of the foregoing, the Board of Directors of the District may, by ordinance, adopt definitions of the terms used in Section 1401 of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 as that section was in effect and operative on December 31, 1988. The rules and regulations in this Section 6 shall apply to the administration, collection, and enforcement of the tax established by this ordinance unless the Board of Directors of the District otherwise provides by ordinance. Page 15. 6.1, Department as Tax Agent of District. The tax imposed by this ordinance shall be paid to the Department as agent for the District. The Department is hereby designated the agent of the District for purposes of administrating the tax imposed by this section. The Department may exercise all supervisory and administrative powers with regard to the enforcement, collection, and administration of this tax as the Department is authorized to exercise pursuant to ORS 305.620, as amended from time to time, including, but not limited to, entering closing agreements, waiving of interest and penalties, releasing liens, issuance of subpoenas, and the making of refunds. 6.2, tax period reports. The tax imposed by this ordinance shall be paid quarterly or less frequently than quarterly if directed by the Department, but not less frequently than annually to the Department of Revenue, State of Oregon, as agent for the district. Every taxpayer quarterly on or before the last day of April, July, October, and January each year, or less frequently than quarterly if directed by the department, but not less frequently than annually, shall pay over to the department the amount imposed by this ordinance as an excise tax and determined according to wages paid by the employer with respect to the employment of individuals during the preceding calendar period or the taxpayer's net earnings from self-employment during the preceding calendar period. Every taxpayer shall, with each payment made by the taxpayer to the department, deliver to the department, on a return prescribed by the department, a statement of the total amounts upon which the tax is required to be computed, and such other information as the department requires. Every deficiency shall bear interest at the rate provided in Section 6.14 for each month or fraction of a month computed from the due date of the return to date of payment. 6.3, date return considered filed or payment made. A return filed before the last day prescribed by law for the filing thereof shall be considered as filed on the last day. An advance payment of any portion of the tax made at the time the return was filed shall be considered as made on the last day prescribed by law for the payment of the tax. The last day prescribed by law for filing the return or paying the tax shall be determined without regard to any extension of time granted the taxpayer by the department. 6.4, assessment of deficiency, penalties and interest on deficiencies. Sub 1, as soon as practicable, after the return is filed, the department shall audit it. If the department deems such audit practicable, if the department discovers from the audit of a return or otherwise that a deficiency exists, it shall compute the tax and give notice to the taxpayer of its proposal to assess the deficiency plus interest and penalty for fraud or negligence, if any attaches. The notice shall state the reason for each proposed adjustment to the return and a reference to the ordinance, statute, regulation, or department ruling upon which the proposed adjustment is based. Each notice of deficiency and proposed assessment shall be certified by the auditor who audited the return that he has audited the return and that the proposed adjustments to the return are made in good faith and not for the purposes of extending the period of assessment. 2. Within 30 days from the date of mailing of notice of proposed assessment, the taxpayer shall pay the proposed deficiency with interest computed to the date of payment and any penalty proposed, or within that time shall advise the department in writing wherein its determination of deficiency as to the proposed assessment at any time prior to the date such assessment is made. Sub 3. If neither payment nor written objection is received by the department within 30 days after notice of proposed assessment has been mailed, the department shall assess the deficiency plus interest and fraud or negligence penalty, if any, shall give notice of the amount so assessed. 4. Every deficiency shall bear interest at the rate provided in Section 6.14 for each month or fraction of a month, computed from the due date of the return to date of payment. 5. Penalties shall be imposed as follows. If the return was falsely prepared and filed with intent to evade the tax, a penalty equal to 100% of the deficiency. Number 6. All payments received must be credited first to penalty, then to interest accrued, and then to tax due. Sub 7. Mailing of notice to the taxpayer of taxpayer's last known address shall constitute the giving of notice of proposed assessment as prescribed in subsection 1 of this section, or of notice of assessment as prescribed in subsection 3 of this section. The provision of section 6 with respect to revision and appeal shall apply to the assessed deficiency, penalties, and interest. Sub 8. Additional assessments and deficiency assessments with respect to any tax return shall be made pursuant to this section and not otherwise within the time limits prescribed by Section 6.5, including, but not limited to, the assertion of additional tax arising from 8 sub A, the failure to report properly all amounts which are the measure of the tax, sub B, the deduction of amounts not permitted by law, sub C, mathematical errors in the return or the amount of tax shown due in the records of the department, D, improper credits or offsets against the tax claimed in the return. 6.5, time limit for assessment of deficiency. Sub 1, At any time within 3 years after the return was filed, the department may give notice of proposed assessment as prescribed in Section 6.4. Page 16 now, number 8, sub 2. The limitation to the giving of notice of proposed assessment of a deficiency provided in this section shall not apply to a deficiency resulting from false or fraudulent returns or in cases where no return has been filed. Sub 3. The tax deficiency must be assessed and notice of tax assessment mailed to the taxpayer within 1 year from the date of the notice of proposed assessment unless an extension of time is agreed upon. If, prior to the expiration of any period of time prescribed in this section for giving of notice of proposed assessment or of assessment, the department and the taxpayer consent in writing to the deficiency being proposed or assessed after the expiration of such prescribed period, such deficiency may be proposed or assessed at any time prior to the expiration of the period agreed upon. 6.6. Effect of failure to file return or to pay tax, determining and assessing tax penalties. Sub 1. If a taxpayer failed to file a return within the time required by this ordinance, the department shall determine the wages paid by the taxpayer or the net earnings from self-employment of the taxpayer, as the case may be, for services rendered within the district according to the best of its information and belief, assess the tax accordingly, and notify the taxpayer of the determination and assessment. In addition to the tax, the department shall also assess and collect, sub A, interest on such tax at the rate provided in Section 6.14 per month or a fraction of a month computed from the original due date of the return until paid, and, sub B, a penalty as provided for in subsection 2 of this section. Number 2, if a taxpayer, sub A, fails to file a return at the time required by this ordinance, or B, fails to pay a tax at the time the tax comes due, unless it is shown that such failure is due to reasonable cause and not due to willful neglect, there shall be added to the amount of the tax required to be shown on the return or to the amount of tax as determined by the department a penalty of 5% of the amount of such tax. If the failure to file continues for a period in excess of 3 months after the due date, there shall be added to the amount of the tax required to be shown on the return a failure to file penalty of 20% of the amount of such tax. This penalty is in addition to the 5% delinquency penalty imposed in this subsection. 3. Interest shall be collected on any unpaid tax as provided in subsection 4 of section 6.4 of this ordinance. 4. For purposes of subsection 2 of this section, the amount of tax required to be shown on the return shall be reduced by the amount of any part of the tax that is paid on or before the date prescribed for payment of the tax, and by the amount of any credit against tax which may be properly claimed upon the return. 6.7. Books and records. Every taxpayer shall maintain records adequate to determine the total amounts by which the excise tax imposed by this ordinance is measured. The department, for the purposes of ascertaining the correctness of any return, or for the purpose of making an estimate of the wages paid by the taxpayer or the amount of the taxpayer's net earnings from self-employment, may examine or cause to be examined by an agent or representative designated by it for the purpose, any books, papers, records, or memoranda bearing upon the matter required to be included in the return and may require the attendance of the taxpayer or officer or agent or any other person having knowledge in the premises and may take testimony and require proof material for the information with power to administer oaths to such persons. The department shall have authority by order or subpoena to be served with the same force and effect and in the same manner that a subpoena is served in a civil action in the circuit court, to require the production at any time and place it may designate of any books, papers, accounts, or other information necessary to the carrying out of the provisions of this ordinance and the laws under which it is enacted. 6.8. Department requiring return or supplementary return. If the department is of the opinion that a taxpayer has failed to file a return or has failed to include in a return filed either intentionally or through error, all wages paid or all of the taxpayer's net earnings from self-employment, it may require from the taxpayer or return or supplementary return under oath in such form as it shall prescribe all of the wages which the taxpayer paid during the quarter for which the return is made or all of the taxpayer's net earnings from self-employment during the quarter for which the return is made, whether or not paid with respect to services performed within the territory. If, from a supplementary return or otherwise, the department finds that any amounts by which the tax is measured have been omitted from the original return, it may require the amounts so omitted to be disclosed under oath of the taxpayer and to be added to the original return. Such supplementary return and the correction of the original return shall not relieve the taxpayer from any of the penalties to which he may be liable under the provisions of law, whether or not the department required a return or a supplementary return under this section. 6.9. Tax as debt. Termination of taxable period and immediate assessment of tax. Sub 1. Every tax imposed upon a taxpayer and all increases, interest, and penalties thereon shall become, from the time such liabilities incurred, a personal debt due the district from the person or persons liable therefor. 2. If the department finds that a taxpayer designs to depart quickly from the state or to remove property therefrom, or to do any other act tending to prejudice or to render wholly or partially ineffectual proceedings to collect the tax for any past quarter or the tax quarter then current, unless such proceedings be brought without delay, the department shall declare the current taxable period for such taxpayer immediately terminated and shall cause notice of such finding and declaration to be given the taxpayer. Simultaneously, the department, on the basis of the best information available to it, shall assess a tax for such terminated period and for the preceding tax quarter. If no return has been filed, therefore, whether or not the time otherwise allowed by law for filing such return and paying the tax has expired, and shall assess additional tax for any quarters open to assessment under the provisions of the applicable law. The department shall give notice to the taxpayer of all taxes so assessed. Such taxes shall thereupon become immediately due and payable as soon as the notice and findings are issued to the taxpayer or mailed to taxpayer's last known address. In any proceeding in court brought to enforce payment of taxes made due and payable by virtue of the provisions of this section, the findings of the department, made as provided in this section, whether made after notice to the taxpayer or not, shall be for all purposes presumptive evidence of the taxpayer's design, and the certificate of the department of the mailing or issuing of the notice and findings specified in this section is presumptive. Page 17 now. 6.10, waiver, cancellation, or compromise of tax penalties and interest. Sub 1. The department may, in its discretion, upon good and sufficient cause, according to and consistent with its rules and regulations, upon making a record of its reason, therefore, waive, reduce, or compromise any tax balance of $10 or less, or any part of all of the penalties and interest provided for in this ordinance. 2. The department may cancel any tax imposed by this ordinance, or any portion thereof, including penalty and interest, which has not been collected, if the department determines that the administration and collection costs involved would not warrant collection of the amount that can reasonably be expected to be recovered. Each such cancellation shall be evidenced by a written record in the files of the department, a copy of which shall be sent to the district. Upon canceling the tax, the department shall also cause to be canceled or released any lien which it may have for the tax so canceled. 6.11, warrant for collection of taxes. 1. If any tax imposed upon a taxpayer or any portion of such tax is not paid within 30 days after it becomes due, or within 5 days, in the case of the determination of the tax quarter by the department under the provisions of Section 6.9 of this ordinance, and no provision is made to secure the payment of this by bond, deposit, or otherwise pursuant to regulations promulgated by the department, the department, pursuant to ORS 267.385, shall issue a warrant under its hand and official seal directed to the sheriff of any court of the state commanding him to levy upon and sell the real and personal property of the taxpayer found within the county for the payment of the amount of the tax, with the added penalties, interest, and the sheriff's cost of executing the warrant, and to return such warrant to the department and pay to it the money collected by virtue thereof, by a time to be therein specified, not less than 60 days from the date of the warrant. 2. The sheriff shall, within 5 days after the receipt of the warrant, file with the clerk of the county a copy thereof, and thereupon the clerk shall enter in the judgment docket, in the column for judgment debtors, the name of the taxpayer mentioned in the warrant, and in appropriate columns, the amount of the tax or portion thereof and penalties for which the warrant is issued, and the date when such copy is filed. Thereupon, the amount of the warrant so docketed shall become a lien upon the title to and interest in property of the taxpayers against whom it is issued in the same manner as a judgment duly docketed in the office of such clerk. The sheriff thereupon shall proceed upon the same in all respects with like effect and in the same manner prescribed by law in respect to executions issued against property upon judgment of a court of record, and shall be entitled to the same fees for his services in executing the warrant to be added to and collected as part of the warrant liability. 3. In the discretion of the department, a warrant of like terms, force, and effect may be issued and directed to any agent authorized to collect excise taxes, and in the execution thereof, the agent shall have all the powers conferred by law upon sheriffs, but is entitled to no fee or compensation in excess of actual expenses paid in the performance of such duty. 4. If a warrant is returned not satisfied in full, the department shall have the same remedies to enforce the claim for taxes against the taxpayer as if the people of the state had recovered judgment against the taxpayer for the amount of the tax, and shall balance taxpayer's assessments record by transferring the unpaid deficiency to taxpayer's delinquent record. 6.12, liability of transferee of property for taxpayer for taxes imposed on taxpayer. 1. When a taxpayer ceases to exist or is no longer subject to the jurisdiction of the district, although subject to the courts of a state having comity with the state of Oregon, being indebted for excise taxes levied upon the taxpayer, the transferee of the money or property of the taxpayer shall be liable for any such tax or deficiency in tax, including penalties and interest, imposed by law on the taxpayer and accruing or accrued upon the date of transfer to the extent of the amount of money or value of the property received by the transferee. Property received by the transferee shall be valued at the fair market value of said property at the time of transfer to the initial transferee by the taxpayer. However, no heir, litigee, devisee, or distributee of an estate of a deceased person shall be liable as a transferee of the decedent or of the decedent's estate, A, after the Department of Revenue's certificate of release with respect to such decedent's estate has been filed with the clerk of the probate court, or B, where no release has been filed, but 90 days have elapsed following a request by the department by the decedent's representatives for such release, unless within that time the probate court, upon application by the department, finds reasonable grounds for extending the time period and allows the department additional time in which to issue a release. 2. The amount for which the transferee of the property of a taxpayer is liable in respect of any such tax or deficiency in tax, including penalties and interest, whether shown on the return of the taxpayer as determined as a deficiency in the tax, shall be assessed against such transferee and collected and paid in the same manner and subject to the same provisions and limitations as would apply to the taxpayer had he or it continued subject to the jurisdiction of this district, except as provided in this section. 3. As used in this section, the term transferee means 1. Not a bona fide purchaser for value and includes an heir, litigee, devisee, distributee of an estate or a deceased person, the shareholder of a dissolved corporation, the assignee or donee of an insolvent person, the successor of a corporation which is a party to a corporate reorganization, and persons acting on behalf of such transferees in a fiduciary capacity. Page 18. 4. The period of limitation for assessment of any such liability of a transferee shall be as follows. A. In the case of the liability of an initial transferee of the property of the taxpayer within 1 year after the expiration of the period of limitation for assessment against the taxpayer. B. In the case of a liability of a transferee of the property of the taxpayer within 1 year after the expiration of the period of limitation for assessment against the preceding transferee, but not more than 3 years after the expiration of the period of limitation for assessment against the taxpayer. C. If, before the expiration of the period of limitation for the assessment of the liability of the transferee, as set forth in paragraph sub A or sub B of this subsection, a court proceeding for the collection of tax or liability in respect thereof has been begun against the taxpayer or last preceding transferee, then the period of limitation for assessment of the liability of the transferee shall expire 1 year after final judgment has been rendered in the court proceedings. D. If, before the expiration of the time prescribed in paragraphs A, B, or C of this subsection, for the assessment of the liability, both the Department of Revenue and the transferee have consented in writing to its assessment after such time, the liability may be assessed at any time prior to the expiration of the period of extension agreed upon. The period so agreed upon may be further extended by subsequent agreements in writing made before the expiration of the period of extension previously agreed upon. Number 5, for the purposes of this section, if the taxpayer is deceased or in the case of a corporation has terminated its existence, the period of limitation for assessment against the taxpayer shall be the period which would be in effect had death or termination of existence not occurred. 6. In the absence of a notice to the Department of Revenue of the existence of a fiduciary relationship, notice of liability enforceable under this section in respect to the tax or deficiency in tax include penalties and interest thereon imposed by this ordinance, if mailed to the person subject to the liability at the last known address, shall be sufficient for the purposes of this section, even if such person is deceased or is under a legal disability or, in the case of a corporation, has terminated its existence. 6.13, refunds. 1. If the amount of tax found due is computed is less than the amount therefore paid, the excess shall be refunded by the department with interest at the rate provided in section 6.14 or each month or fraction of a month from the time the tax was paid to the time the refund is made. No refund shall be allowed or made after 3 years from the time the tax was filed or 2 years from the time the tax or a portion thereof was paid, whichever period expires the later, unless before the expiration of such period a claim for refund is filed by the taxpayer in compliance with the manner prescribed by the department. The amount of the refund, exclusive of interest thereon, shall not exceed the portion of the tax paid during such period preceding the filing of the claim, or if no claim is filed, then during the period preceding the allowance of the refund during which the claim might have been filed. Where there has been an overpayment of any tax imposed, the amount of the overpayment and the interest thereon shall be credited against any tax, penalty, or interest then due from the taxpayer, and only the balance shall be refunded. 2. Notwithstanding any provision of the contrary in subsection 1 of this section, if, prior to the expiration of the period prescribed in subsection 1 of this section, the department and the taxpayer consent in writing to the refund of tax after the expiration of the period prescribed, the refund shall be made at any time prior to the expiration of the period agreed upon, and no refund shall be made or allowed after the expiration of the period agreed upon unless a claim for refund is filed by the taxpayer before the expiration of the period agreed upon in compliance with the manner prescribed by the department. The department shall have the power to consent to such refund only where the taxpayer has consented to assessment of additional tax, if such be determined upon audit, after the expiration of the applicable 3-year period prescribed. 6.14, interest rates. Interest rates on all delinquencies, deficiencies and refunds for all interest periods shall be as provided in the applicable provisions of ORS Chapters 305 and 314 as now constituted or therefore amended. 6.15 Appeal to Department. Sub 1. A taxpayer may appeal to the Department for the refund or revision or both of any excise tax within the time stated below. A. In the case of an appeal for a refund of taxes shown on the return filed by the taxpayer within 3 years from the time the return was filed, or 2 years from the time the tax or a part of installment thereof was paid, whichever period expires the later. B. In the case of an appeal from additional taxes assessed where no return was filed, or a refund denial issued by the department within 6 months from the date of notice of assessment, assessment shall be final after the expiration of the period specified in this paragraph, and payment of the tax shall not give the taxpayer any extension of the period within which an appeal may be taken. 2. The appeal shall be by way of written petition, which states the grounds upon which the taxpayer contends that the assessment is erroneous. The department shall grant a hearing upon the appeal and shall examine the determination of the amount of tax due, including penalty and interest thereon, and shall redetermine such amount if it is necessary upon the law and the facts to do so. The department shall notify the taxpayer of its determination of the amount of tax due and penalty and interest, either as originally assessed or as redetermined, and shall refund to the taxpayer any amount, if any, and shall refund to the taxpayer the amount paid in excess of the tax found to be due with interest thereon, as provided by this ordinance. Where there has been an overpayment of any tax, the amount of such overpayment and the interest thereon shall be credited against any tax or penalty or interest then due from the taxpayer, and only the balance shall be refunded. If the taxpayer has failed prior to the time of the appeal, without good cause, to file any return required by law within the time prescribed by law, or has filed a fraudulent return, or, having filed an incorrect return, has failed after notice to file a proper return, the department shall not reduce or refund so much of the amount of tax involved in the hearings as it may be found that the taxpayer owes for any other year or years. Page 19. 6.6. Appeal from Department. An appeal from the order of the department upon the application made by the taxpayer for refund or revision of any tax as provided for in this chapter may be taken by the taxpayer to the Oregon Tax Court. Any such appeal must be made within 60 days after the order of the department is sent to the taxpayer. If the department fails to notify a taxpayer properly appealing to the department within 12 calendar months following the month in which the appeal is filed of its determination of the appeal, the taxpayer may treat the appeal as denied and bring suit in the Oregon Tax Court. All suits brought in the Oregon Tax Court shall be conducted in accordance with the procedures set forth in ORS 305.415 through 305.447, 305.475, 305.490 through 305.510 and 305.620 as amended from time to time. 6.7 Procedural Matters. The provisions of ORS Chapters 305 and 314, as amended from time to time, as to the audit and examination of reports and returns, determination of deficiencies, interest, penalties, assessments, claims for refund, conferences, appeals to the director of the department, and the appeals to the Oregon Tax Court, and the procedures relating thereto, shall apply to the determination of taxes, penalties, and interest under this ordinance, except where the context requires otherwise. A taxpayer may utilize the procedure respecting appeals to the Magistrate Division of the Oregon Tax Court as provided in ORS 305.501 to 305.525. 6.18, when appeal stays collection proceedings. Unless otherwise ordered by the circuit court, an appeal to the department or to the court from an assessment of taxes or additional taxes shall not stay proceedings to collect any unpaid tax if the department believes that collection of the tax will be jeopardized by delay. Number 7, severability, the invalidity or enforceability of any provision of this ordinance shall not affect the validity or enforceability of any other provisions of this ordinance, and the remaining provisions of this ordinance shall continue in full force and effect. Number 8, effective date, this ordinance shall go into effect on January 1st, 2017. This completes Part 1 of Measure 24-388, Salem Area Mass Transit District. Part 2 will have arguments in favor and opposition.